Well, those I've spoken to, and quite a lot, have first of all enjoyed themselves, or enjoying themselves very much indeed. And I think one of the big experiences they have is of recognizing that they're part of a church which goes right round the world. As one of them said to me this morning, probably in our gatherings tonight, there'll be people there from most of the countries of the world. So they have this huge and very personal sense of the universality of the Catholic Church, how it reaches into every different nation and culture. I think, secondly, they get a great deal of encouragement for themselves that this faith that they have and that they want to grow in actually has got great vitality in it. And clearly when you grow up in one parish or maybe moving on to university and having another experience of their faith there, this is something which builds on that enormously. And I think thirdly, there's a great sense of joy. I mean, this is fun. I find it quite hard going and I'm comparatively comfortable. But youngsters, they have energy and they kind of regain their energy every day. But they're enjoying what they're doing. They're enjoying it. This is an adventure, and it's an adventure in faith. And I think that the last thing that gives them great thrill is to meet Pope Benedict and to be in his presence, to listen to his message, and to find in him a great encouragement and a point of unity.
Obviously, the British pilgrims have been taking part in the catechesis sessions, which have been ongoing from Wednesday until Friday. Did you yourself deliver any of those sessions, or what was the feedback you had from the pilgrims about this form of preparation?
I wasn't at the first of the ones for the Westminster pilgrims. I was at the second one, which was presented by a very charming and a very bright priest, a bishop from the Philippines. And it was very interesting. His line was to explore with them the role of Facebook and Twitter and all the media communication things. And I think he did that extremely well. And his challenge to them was use these things to evangelize. Use these things to tell the story of your faith and to encourage each other and other people in the way of faith. I wasn't at their third session because I was out giving a catechesis myself, but the group I was speaking to were from all the other continents other than Europe.
And what did you have to say to them?
I was speaking to them about being a witness, and I wanted to explore with them the experience of being a witness, for example, in a court of law. How, as a witness in a court of law, you have to answer the questions that are before the court. And secondly, you have to tell the truth as you have seen it and know it. And thirdly, you have to be ready to be tested. Your credibility is going to be tested in the witness stand. And it was those three things I used as a way of exploring what it means to witness to Christ in the world today, which was the third of the themes. But it was a very different experience for me because most people there were from Africa, they were from the Philippines, they were from India, they were from the Middle East. They were from China, they were from Malaya, all sorts of different places. So there's me as a European speaking to an experience of faith which is fresh to me. But it was good, it was good.
And that was only one of the over 200 catechesis sessions that were going on all over Madrid this week as part of World Youth Day. Your catechesis actually touched on a theme that's very dear to Pope Benedict XVI's magisterium. One of his first messages to young people when he arrived in Madrid was, do not be ashamed of our Lord. Again, speaking about witness, the idea of being Christians in society, being active, not being ashamed to show your faith. And then, of course, the dialectic between faith and reason, believer and non-believer in society. It's also a subject he touched on when he was in the United Kingdom almost a year ago now. Of course, it was a very different level. The people he was speaking to at that time were at a very different intellectual level. But do you think it's a message, a mission, that the young people of today can understand and take on?
Well, I heard this morning of one of the youngsters here from England, a girl who's at university, had struck up a friendship with a lad. And only after a bit did she learn that he was been among the protesters against the papal visit to the United Kingdom. So she and he are working this out in their friendship, in their relationship. And in a way, that shows you that this is real for these youngsters, that they, while they're full of hope and they're full of enthusiasm for the future, they are also living in the same society in which, in the United Kingdom particularly, there's so many voices saying, go take no notice of religion. It's a purely private matter. In fact, if anything, it's a problem in society. Whereas I think what the Pope is constantly saying is that religious faith, and the Christian faith in particular, has a huge contribution to make to the fashioning of a stable future for us all. And I think she and he will explore that and will, as it were, live the journey that the Pope asks in their friendship. And if that's true for one of these youngsters, it's probably true for a lot of them in their places of work, in their universities. I hope they will have the confidence to follow that prompting of the Pope and never be ashamed of their faith, but never either seek to impose it on others. It's an invitation. And it's an invitation more than anything else to know Christ personally. And if we have that personal relationship with him, then we can begin to have the conversation. And that's what I see in these young people. They're very devout. They seem to have a sense of Christ as their friend, as well as the church as their family. And both are important.
We're seeing a very different vision of today's young people than we saw perhaps earlier this week in the protests of the young people against this papal visit, albeit a minority, or perhaps even in those young people who took part in the riots in certain cities in the United Kingdom. The idea, again, of a different face of young people being presented to society. It's important, isn't it?
Do you know, that's a fair point, but I think we have to keep things in proportion. I mean, the protests here in Madrid have been from really very few people. And a couple of the taxi drivers I've been with have said how ashamed they are of those protests because they say, you know, Madrid and the Spanish people are hugely welcoming, hospitable, and they resented those protests which tried to give the impression that Madrid was hostile to this event. And he said, Madrid is not. So I think there's a common voice in Spain, in Madrid certainly, that says, no, this is a very, very welcome moment. And I think also, shocking as the riots and the looting in a few English cities was, it's not been huge numbers. I mean, there's far more youngsters here in Madrid on the World Youth Day than took part in those riots in England. And nor should we think that those riots were, as it were, the activity of young people. I think we're being told that less than half of those before the courts are youngsters. And the rest are from all sorts of walks of life. But that has been a wake-up call for us to recognise that we do need to dig down again and find some fundamental values that hold us together, even when the temptations are there to break loose and to cause a bit of mayhem. So I think the contribution that a World Youth Day makes is to give young people the confidence to resist some of that temptation and to be firm in their own way of life, their own self-respect, the respect they have for others, and to be really citizens of a better future.
My final question, were you surprised at how much this particular gathering of World Youth Day young people seem to have really warmed to Pope Benedict XVI? They've been termed the B16 generation. A lot of commentators outside the Catholic Church are shocked by this because they've always very much considered him an austere, severe, reserved character. How would you explain the obvious affection that these young people have for this Pope?
Well, I think with Pope Benedict's visit to the United Kingdom, we saw some of that media parody of the Pope revealed for what it is, that in fact Joseph Ratzinger has always been a man of immense courtesy, compassion, gentleness. And I think when he was in the United Kingdom, I think people saw him much more as a figure of, if you like, your favourite grandfather. And I think it's that gentleness and that warmth and that deep respect that he has for people, even those who disagree with him, that appeals to young people, together with his ability to express the truths of faith in a very clear way, a way that is clear and not threatening, but certainly challenging. It's saying, live up to this because it's what's true and it's what will bring you the kind of happiness that you're seeking. So I think the appeal of Benedict is, okay, it might surprise some people, but clearly these young people here are seeing the man as he is and seeing him in his role as the supreme pontiff, as the successor of Peter. And I think that's part of the appeal, that they know that they're not just looking at an elderly priest who comes from Bavaria and has this history. They are looking and welcoming the successor of St. Peter, who is, if you like, the rock of faith. And they know if they are in communion with him, then they are close to the promise of Christ, who said, you know, the gates of hell will not prevail against this church. So I think this is a very, very remarkable event. And it's just a shame that the British media doesn't pay it more attention. You know, you've got 1.5, maybe more million young people here. There's no trouble, so maybe it's not newsworthy, but it should be, because these are the young people who will shape the future of our country, I hope. They'll make their contribution. And I think this is a really good story that I hope many people will draw from it encouragement for the future.